sky goes dark. Now we're the wild things on.
Producer Alex Strope playing Greg Gard's favorite artist, Luke Combs. I believe he read that in an article. Good on Strophe. We welcome in to Kyle Brust and Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Myself, Ben Brust, former Badger punter Brad Nortman, and Wisconsin backer, kind of a fraudulent Badger fan, though, Kyle Wallace here with us. Greg Gard, head coach of Wisconsin men's basketball team.
I really don't like the way
welcome
you did that.
Into the show. You were rooting for Marquette in the tournament.
No, not. It's true. Well, root for
Coach, how are
you? How are we doing, guys? Good. How are you doing, Ben?
We're doing well. And happy to have you on because this is the third year of the Alumni Charity Challenge at Summerfest this Friday, June 28th at 4 p.m. You're going to have myself, Kirk Penny, who's a part of your staff but not a true assistant, so he has the ability to play an event like this, and Brevin Pritzel. We've won the last 2 years, so there's our humble brag. But go to summerfest.com/alumnicharitychallenge to make a donation to GAC and get a free Summerfest ticket. Coach, first and foremost, you had the signature event in May. How's everything going with Guarding Against Cancer and all the work you've done raising funds that stay here in the state of Wisconsin?
It's been going well. I mean, obviously, I can't thank people enough for all the support they've given, over the last 8 years or almost 8 years now. We're cresting towards $9 million raised in that amount of time. So, obviously, the big event you mentioned in May, but all these other events, as you mentioned, that you guys are trying to go for the three-peat. Looks like you got three shooters.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel
Kirk
good. How's Kirk's shot? Have you seen it at all around, like before
really
and after
good.
Practice?
Really good. Really good. Hope you've been in the gym, Ben, because you got to carry your weight.
I was 9-for-16 in my men's league, on Monday. Okay. Cool.
Good.
Greg,
everything with the GAC is going awesome, and just continue to help everybody across the state in this fight.
That's outstanding. We love Guarding Against Cancer, and does so much good for the state of Wisconsin, and keeping the money within the state for cancer research is just unbelievable. So thank you for all your hard work with that. And, as I think about Wisconsin athletics, I see it with the Wisconsin football team, and times are different from when Ben and I played, right? When high school recruiting was of the utmost importance, that creates your pipeline because transferring was just so hard, no NIL. Things are so much different nowadays, and it just got me thinking, as the Wisconsin basketball team, recruits high school and tries to get transfers in, what's more important for the Wisconsin Badger basketball team? Is it like the high school commitments, or is it the transfer commitments? Which recruiting is more valuable nowadays?
Well, and you got to ask,
or even recruiting your own players, Coach.
Internationally has exploded here because of NIL. So you're trying to find the balance and I don't think you can, in today's world, you can't be successful with all high school players because you can't afford to be that young. And there's just so many good players that come out in the portal. So you're able to add some experience. And then, as I mentioned previously here, I've just watched the international recruiting, just explode. And I think it's only going to become more now that there's NIL opportunities, internationally. And, so you're trying to find the balance. You're constantly, literally, I walked out of a meeting 20 minutes ago with my staff looking forward to 25, 26 and what our roster looks like and how we need to supplement it with experience. And I mean, there's just so many options on the table and so many unknowns right now, that you want to keep, make sure you're exploring everything and not be dependent on one specific area.
Yeah, we're talking with Coach Greg Gard of the Wisconsin men's basketball team, Kyle Brust and Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Coach, I spent some time in Madison over the weekend, and it's always a joy to see Badger fans, and I was around former teammates that you obviously helped coach with us as we went through a great time back in 14 and the 15 run I was not a part of. But when it comes to fans coming up to me and talking about the program, they're still going to be fans of Wisconsin basketball, but it always starts with, I missed the days of four-year guys. And I guess what I ask you is, you put together a team right now of guys you had to recruit in your own program, right? That's part of this as well.
Right.
Transfers, right. High school kids. And with the transfer portal, you went and got guys. even to someone like me who loves the game and sees this team coming together, what can you tell us about some of these guys that people may not know a lot about, but know that you went and got them in the portal? Like, what does the construction of this team look like in the early phases of summer?
Well, it is really early. We're barely a week into it, Ben. But, you know, we've tried to go and make sure we're too deep at every position and really good in those positions. So, obviously, we brought in a point guard and Cameron Hunter. We brought in a wing and John Tanjay, and we brought in, you know, kind of a hybrid forward. Can play some on the wing, probably more than I thought he could be in watching him here over the week. And more of a, we thought more of a four, but he's got more wing skills than we realized in Xavier Amos. So those three guys, you know, coming in with the mindset to contribute right out of the gate and help us right away. And then you have the core of, you know, the returners of Klesmet and Winter and Blackwell and Crow and Gilmore and Elver, those guys all back. And then you add in, you know, two freshmen and, you know, guy that redshirted last year, Jack Janicki. So we're also in the process of having an international student join us here, player join us here later this summer or early in the fall. So we're working through that. So it's just, like I said, trying to get too deep at every single position and have quality, you know, 1 through 5.
Coach, the landscape of college basketball, specifically men's college basketball and men's football, I mean, this just can't be sustainable. I mean, burnout. I mean, as a coach and many other coaches I'm sure you talk to, do you all find this fun? Like, this has to be exhausting, because Ben just alluded to, like, as a fan, it's like, this is exhausting trying to keep up with everything, everybody moving all the time. Do you ever get to a point, or do you know people in the college basketball landscape that are like, man, this just can't be sustainable?
Well, I think sustainable in how we've done it here for the last 2 years or so, probably not. But I think we're getting to a point where revenue sharing is going to come to fruition in 25, 26, it looks like. So it will help in some regards. I don't think it's going to be a cure-all. I think the biggest thing with this settlement that took place and got voted on last month to kind of clear some of these lawsuits so the NCAA can get some type of antitrust backing with Congress to get some type of guardrails and system in place and have some structure to it and some just to create some parity. Because really, from every single school you talk to, and I think men's basketball is way out front of every other sport, not only in terms of portal impact, NIL impact, NIL dollars, and just the basketball, men's basketball, seems to be a year plus ahead of every other sport in terms of how we're operating and where we've moved to. So, like I said, hopefully with the settlement and some revenue sharing, that'll bring some stability to it. But I think we're, you know, I tell fans all the time that I talk to, you have to put, as Ben mentioned, watching a player for 4 years or 5 years or that, it was great. I loved it. But I also have to realize that we've moved to a different era, and you have to embrace that and accept that and adapt to it. Because if you try to stay in the years gone by mindset, you're going to get really rolled over pretty fast, because the experience and the talent and the depth of rosters because of the portal and what NIL has been allowed schools and different universities to do, it's changed the game. You know, we've become professional sports, but we don't have the guardrails and the structure around it that we need yet. We got to get there. We're not there yet, but that's literally in how you look at a roster, how you manage your team, how you construct a roster, even how I've constructed my coaching staff and I've changed some things. It's more and more resembling a pro organization. And you have to look at that from the top down.
Coach, it's really well said. And, you know, you have to think about all these different dynamics at play. And one of those that you mentioned earlier was this emergence of international talent. And honestly, I hear that. I think Giannis, Jokic, Luka. I mean, it is becoming an international game more so than ever. So I got to ask, when it comes to recruiting, how is recruiting an international player different than a domestic player?
Well, you're doing a lot of over Zoom, which we just did one today. A lot of Zoom, a lot of phone calls, a lot of WhatsApp, you know, to do the international calls. So you're just trying to create a network. And I think having, you know, two or three coaches on my staff now. You mentioned Kirk Penny's played in a lot of places. Lance Randall, who's on my staff, is actually overseas right now coaching the Great Britain national team in the European Championships. So having – and Joe played in several countries. So to be able to have people that have had experience and have contacts, and then you just start to grow your network and you keep making your, you know, your net bigger and bigger and bigger. But, you know, you watch the draft tonight and it will be you know, you'll see half that first round will be international. And I think there's 440 players in the NBA. I saw a stat a few months ago right now, or 440 players in with all the rosters. There's 128 international players or around that, 125. They're projecting by 2028, half the NBA will be international.
Wow.
So
wow.
You can just see the influx because of the systems, because of the development that is done better in Europe and in
way
Australia,
better
New Zealand. Yeah. I mean, so it's, you're just seeing that impact. And then in our country, we got to catch up. We got to change how we're training our young players and young kids and do more fundamental development because we're seeing what's happening in, you know, places that you mentioned Luka Doncic and Giannis and all those where they got their training. You can definitely see the difference just watching film of players over there that are, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, 19 years old. You know, they're playing against grown men, but they're also, you can tell they're really well coached and really well trained, not just roll the ball out and play, you know, four games in a day and then do it again the next day. They're really strategic in how they train and bring people through the ranks of their clubs.
So did we just set ourselves backwards in this state? Like, I mean, it just came to my head when you said that, as I think about when I was overseas, seeing the teams and the shot clocks, even for kids in middle school and high school and everything that was coming up through the European leagues, the WIA with no shot clock being like passed through, does that hurt the development of the state and these players?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We need the shot clock in the state. And I've been a proponent with it. I'm on the WBCA executive board, and I know there's a lot of people on that board that are in favor of it, but they haven't been able to get it far enough along where the Board of Control with the WIA has voted it through. But there is no doubt the impact in a positive way that it would make in the development of players. It'd make coaching better. It'd make officiating better. It's not that hard to run a shot clock. Actually, you have more errors on an actual score clock and then you do on a shot clock. And if you do, you just like we do in our games, you stop it and you get it right. So it's definitely, I think, pausing or halting the development of our players in other states. I know Illinois is going to it, I think, in another 2 years, and other states are continuing to move forward with it. So it's something hopefully for the betterment of our game in this state that we get to it here sooner than later.
Talk with Coach Greg Gard here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman. And Coach, before we let you go, I have a question for you. I'm going to give my pitch about myself as a player at Wisconsin, and you have the ability to help me lose sleep tonight. Obviously, I missed out on this rev share and NIL, but say I'm coming off of my junior year. Somehow, I led the team in scoring. We weren't very good offensively, but still set the school record in threes for a year, around like 90-ish. What do you think the ballpark is, Yodlee game style, and the Price is Right? Like, tell me when to stop of NIL money that I could have made as a senior.
Leading scorer?
Yeah, 11.1 junior year. Yeah, believe that or not, okay. It's true.
Yeah, you're a little small for a shooter, okay, given the market value. You play it on it. Didn't we do a one and done in the tournament? Didn't we lose to...
We did lose to Ole Miss.
Oh, Marshall Hinders.
What was his name?
Marshall Hinders.
Still don't like him, Coach.
Yeah.
Hit the Michigan shot, so I got some branding. I got some branding going.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, your personality, Ben, especially if you, you know, would pose in some of those cheese heads that you did at times when the Packers whacked your Bears.
It's true, back in the day.
Yeah, you'd have some marketability. A little bit. You do okay. You do all well for yourself. You can
north,
afford a new set of golf clubs.
You don't have to give me a true number, but north of 300?
300!
In total? For your career?
I mean, hell, I've seen some of these numbers.
No,
they're outrageous.
No, if you got 300 now, I'm training my kid now.
Are you talking in the current era?
Current era. Yes, current era.
Yeah, that's probably right about, that's the median for you.
Median! Oh, no! I played at the wrong time. I'm going to be up all night, coach. But I appreciate the honesty.
No problem. No problem.
But
fortunately, you're not, but your defensive ability, Ben, we'd probably have to factor that in, and that'd be some reduction.
Well, you guys did a good job
Although
of hiding
me. Although it did get better. It did get much better.
You know, Coach, thanks for coming on, and I'm excited to represent Guarding Against Cancer on Friday again. You know, as a part of the show, we also did the Touchdowns for Love with Jordan Love, which helped get $50,000 plus for Guarding Against Cancer. So
yeah, I still owe you some money on that.
Yes, don't worry. Our All key right. cog of GAC, Heather Garrison, we've discussed yeah. that, but we're trying to make sure we give you the time to continue to do what you need to do to keep all of us Wisconsin fans happy. But 8.5 million raised throughout the time of GAC. Bill Raftery was the guest at the event in May. Coach, thank you for all you do in the state, and thank you for the candid conversation about where college basketball and the Wisconsin Badgers are going.
Hey, and thanks for jumping out there with Kirk and Brevin on Friday. And thankfully, this Alumni Charity Challenge is all based on offense because
yes.
that's three players that definitely the needle pointed that way in their careers.
Yes. Well, we appreciate the time, Coach, and look forward to bringing back the three-peat.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
That's Coach Greg Gard of the Wisconsin Badgers joining Kyle Brustenort. We'll react to Coach. I thought he had a really interesting point on a couple different bases. Kyle, you had a great question because I couldn't do it. I mean, I would have caved if I had him. I'd be like, I'm almost done with this. This sucks.
I mean, you see coaches, Dabo Swinney from Clemson. Clemson was becoming a dynasty, but he decided not to buy in. You see a Virginia, Tony Bennett, struggling to buy into what the new landscape is. It is exhausting.
Trophy?
Yeah, I mean, look at the Packers' new defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
Jeff Hafley left college football as a head coach at Boston College because he was sick of internal recruiting, external recruiting, and everything that goes into it. It's complete chaos.
We'll dive a little deeper with you, KBN Nation, next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
Subarus, anybody in a Subaru driving down Fond du Lac or Capitol, I'm like, you are not where you need to be driving that slow.
I mean, if we're being honest, it's always a Subaru.
It is always a Subaru.
And they likely have a lot of bumper stickers.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.